following takes place between 6 p.m. and 7 p.m.
Hello, and welcome to Tech Access Weekly, a podcast of unspecified length concerning news and events in accessible technology. This is episode 79 for Tuesday, February 1st, 2011. Swimming in the Dead Zone. Hi, everyone, and welcome to today's show. It's a Tuesday evening. We tried to postpone this a day to make ourselves more organized with all the new ATIA things that happened last weekend.
And I'm not really sure it worked.
I don't think it did, but that's okay. We'd first like to start out by thanking everyone who has nominated and or is voting for us in the BlindBargains.com Access Awards this year. We were really surprised to see ourselves up there and really appreciate all the good vibes from everyone. So thank you very much.
Yes, you can head over to blindbargains.com or you can follow a bit.ly link, bit.ly/blindbargains2011, BLINDBARGAINS2011, to vote for 12 categories, which really you only have one that you're mandatory to choose, and that is for blind podcast.
Yeah, and you have to choose us.
Yeah, of course. I mean, there's no other choice.
No.
Nobody else holds a candle.
No, absolutely not.
Plus, I'm going to give iPads.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, iPads.
Like, what kind of iPads?
Well, I was thinking I could go down to the local doctor's office and see if they've got, like, pads for, like, taking notes and things that maybe have an eye on them.
Or better, get those little gauze pads from the drugstore and magic marker little eyes on them.
Ooh, and we could even sign them.
There you go.
You think anybody would get confused by that?
Probably. So that would be my guess.
Anyway, without the banter, we do appreciate all of the nominations and votes that we receive.
Thank you so much. And I also want to give a shout out to those people who donated stories to us for ATIA. Particularly Joe Steinkamp and Brian Watson. And Jim Ansley also sent us a couple things. So thank you all very much.
Yes, and I also saw one from Dan
Eichmeier.
Yes.
He also sent us one, yeah.
I can't pronounce that last name, so you're just Dan to me, dude.
And I'm glad that people are enjoying our tips. We had a couple of very positive comments about our tip that was just posted yesterday, the iPhone Compass. And so some people were very excited that I actually demonstrated a Braille compass too.
Yeah, and a lot of people actually use the compass to navigate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I mean, all the regular tech pundits were always making fun of the iPhone 4 because it's got a compass and a gyroscope.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a use for it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So with all of that aside, are we ready to get started with the... Oh, let's tell everybody where we'll be Thursday night.
I'm going to be sitting right here.
We will be on Cero Talks Tech Chat on Thursday night discussing ATIA and the month in review.
Yeah, the month in review for January. It will be us alone.
Oh gosh, did you confirm that?
Yes, I have confirmed that. What are they thinking?
What were you thinking?
That's what I have to say about that.
That's probably what they're going to be saying about that after we get finished with them. But anyway, it is a great honor to be asked to be on the Cero Talk.
Yeah.
And you can get to that at cerotalk.com. And that will be at 9 p.m. Eastern.
Mm-hmm.
This Thursday, February 3rd. And if you are an iPhone wannabe on Verizon, you can pre-register for your iPhone on February 3rd.
That's right. That's right.
Kind of coinky dinky.
Yes, absolutely. Well, with that said, I think we are now ready to get into our show. And the way this is going to work is we are going to have a rapid fire of several different mainstream tech stories and then a little bit more detail on some ATIA developments that occurred in Orlando this past week.
Yeah, there's quite a few stories from last week in the mainstream that are kind of important, and we thought we would just try and hit the highlights of those and spend a little bit more time with the ATIA or Asia or ATIA, as I like to say.
Yes.
It's like a tortilla. Tortilla.
It's just a tia.
Anyway, starting out with Microsoft is having a wonderful issue again with Internet Explorer. They are warning of a critical flaw that is attacking websites. Well, actually, in theory, they are attacking websites that are using Active Scripting, ActiveX, or MHTML processing, which I guess is a MIME format for emails and such. They have not, as of yet, found anyone that has been affected by this flaw, but they are warning about it. And if you want to disable it, you can do this by going into your internet options and turning up your security. If you would like directions on this, you can go to support.microsoft.com/KB/250-1696. Or you can search Google for KB.
250-1696.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And there is, if you're in Windows 7, I'm not sure if it actually works for other versions of Windows. I believe it does, but when I went to it, it actually has the fix it button at the bottom of the page. Just keep in mind that if you do turn this option on to sort of disable the scripting, it may cause other websites not to function properly, but they also have the unfix it.
Ooh, okay.
So that's kind of nice. So head over to that if you are greatly paranoid. They hope to possibly have a fix coming in February for this, but they are not sure as of yet. Also in Microsoft news, Windows Phone 7, we had reported about the data leak where phones were just chewing up data off and on for the past couple of months since launch. Well, apparently Microsoft has found out that it is Yahoo.
How?
Rafael Rivera, who is a tech blogger and also works with Paul Thurrott of Windows Weekly, did a little snooping and sniffing and found that the problem is actually Yahoo.
What are they doing?
Apparently, if you have your phone set to retrieve emails at a close together point, it will actually grab more data than necessary for that. So people are starting to see issues with their data caps. So the recommendation right now is to tell your phone, please do not check email quite yet. I may have mail, but I don't
just leave it alone for 2 hours instead of 20 minutes.
Yeah. And Yahoo is hoping that they will be able to fix this issue in early February.
Speaking of search engines, Google's doing something kind of interesting.
Well, Google Voice is going to start porting phone numbers. This means that you will be able to take your cell phone number or your home phone or anything like that and port your phone number over to Google Voice to make it permanent. So you could take your cell phone, transfer it over, have that one phone number. Only problem is that you may want to try it out and see how the quality is. When you are connecting to Google servers, you do actually go through their connection and not your cell carrier. So your sound quality may be a little bit shaky.
And bear in mind, this is like breaking your cell contract.
Yeah, if you are under contract with Verizon or AT&T or someone like that, if you try to port your number in the United States, that is, because they don't offer this abroad yet, you will actually break your contract and suffer fees for that.
For Google doing this, though, there's a fee of $20. Is that monthly or yearly? Or
That is a one-time charge to port your number, which is interesting because cell phone companies are not allowed to charge you that fee, but somehow or another, Google is getting away with it.
And it's not technically a phone company, maybe?
No, and that's kind of the question about that. It's sort of funny, and the FCC will probably get a hold of that sooner or later. Most likely later than sooner. Google is also censoring search engine results. They are blocking things like BitTorrent, Views, MediaFire, and Pirate Bay.
RapidShare, all those sorts of things.
Anything where there are file sharing sites and where you can actually get illegal or actual valid content. Actually, if you try to download Ubuntu, the Linux distribution, it will actually not come up. That was one of the reports.
Really?
I hadn't confirmed that.
Wow.
Because Ubuntu is distributed by BitTorrent.
That's true. That's right.
So if you go to instant search, it will actually white word you.
Right.
And
well,
get away from
it. I mean, if you turn instant off, it will come up. You can search for these, and I'm assuming it will still work.
Yeah, and even if things do not show up in instant, you can always type it in and hit enter.
Right.
So you can type in BitTorrent. It will not show up. It'll just white word, and then you can hit enter and actually find it.
And, of course, you can be like everyone else who is sane and turn instant off.
Yes, which we also had a daily
Tech
tip on
daily
that.
Tip on that.
So if you are interested in how to turn off instant, you can head over to techaccessweekly.com and look under the daily tips.
And I believe it is under the Google.
Actually, it's under websites, I believe.
Oh, is it? Okay. Yeah. Well, I don't know what number it is, but it's in there. You'll find it.
Yeah, it's just a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
In popular news right now on the television and internet and Twitter and everywhere else, Egypt has cut off the internet. I guess the pyramid became less pointy.
Apparently so. And this was done in... it was kind of a strategy. Egypt, they not only cut off the internet, but the president, like, fired his whole cabinet.
Yeah, it's, if you've been under a rock, there has been lots of political riots and such, battles against police forces and military as well.
Mm-hmm.
They decided that they would cut off the internet last Thursday. So there's some websites out there that show internet traffic, and it just completely drops off the face of the earth.
Apparently, they had one ISP that was still sort of connected until today, and then they...
Yeah, and there were some Turkish lines that were actually able to help out with people getting information out of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, they have ceased that as of today. They're literally cut 3,500 lines from the ISP routers so that they cannot get out. And... I mean, this could happen anywhere. I mean, over here in the United States, they've been talking about a kill switch for the internet, that the government needs to have access to this. I mean, it's kind of a bad censorship thing, but seems like it could possibly be useful if there was like a terrorist attack.
Yeah.
If they were trying to detonate nuclear power plants by mm-hmm. infiltrating computer systems or taking out the power grid or something like that. Maybe it disrupts communication of people. I mean, granted, information and pictures and everything are still getting out. So it's something to think about.
Yeah. And it's also interesting to think about, is it really a feasible thing to do over here? Is it as easy over here to do it than it is in Egypt? They only have four or five ISPs to worry about over there, for instance.
I don't know. But it's something to think about. Canada, in talking about censorship, Canada is looking at reducing bandwidth caps from 200 gigabytes to 25 gigabytes at some of their mobile carriers.
That's ridiculous.
Now, 25 gigabytes, keep in mind, if you were to listen to something like
Internet radio,
maybe mushroomfm.com, where you can hear The Melting Pot on Sundays from 7 to 10 p.m., if you listen to that for 3 weekends in a row, you would have spent probably about 9 gigs worth of data. So you would only get to listen to The Melting Pot for 9 hours.
That's it.
Granted, that's a lot of Melting Pot.
Yeah, that's a little much. But you couldn't do anything else. You couldn't send email, surf the web.
Yeah,
listen to. I mean,
it's ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, dealing with cell phone caps and everything on AT&T is bad enough.
Right.
It's kind of crazy. But where will it go? Who knows?
Who knows?
Most likely at some point we will see these kind of caps here in the United States, which will pretty much kill any type of media watching over the internet. Facebook, in a security effort, which will take down the Fire Sheep that we had talked about back in the fall, they have enabled HTTPS, and you can do that on your Facebook account.
Yay.
You will want to go into Facebook, log in. Go to Facebook account settings. Under there, there will be account security. Under that section, you will actually be able to check the box that says use encryption. This is something that you will definitely want to do, and you will definitely want to pass it along to all of your friends and neighbors.
There was one story I read that said that this was being rolled out and it wasn't to everybody yet, but then there's other stories that say that it is rolled out to everyone. So, you know, check your account. Hopefully you have it.
Yes. And we are going to also release this as a daily tip so that you can see if there's any issues encountered with JAWS and enabling.
So that should come out in the next couple of days. Yep. And what is this Facebook gaming credit thing? I don't understand that.
Facebook, in their infinite wisdom, is going to have all of the game developers to have to use Facebook credits.
Okay.
So in order for a person to actually buy something within a game on Facebook, they will have to purchase credits, which will be used to buy things in games. So if you use Farm Bucks, you will have to purchase Farm Bucks using Facebook credits. This is going to roll out in July 2011. And they are also giving an incentive to game developers like Zynga to include Facebook credits as their mode of cash.
Exchange?
Yeah, exactly.
Huh.
That thing.
Interesting.
So it's a little bit bizarre. I don't quite understand. It's kind of like Xbox. Xbox, I believe, has in-game credits where you have to purchase Xbox or X-Bits or something.
I sort of understand that, but what I don't understand is this turning comments into ads thing? What?
Yeah, if they are going to actually use, they've made it, well, let's put it this way, they've made a deal so that they can use places, which is their check-in thing.
Right.
So if you go to Starbucks and say, hey, I'm having the greatest Frappuccino, man, they can actually take that and put it on a Facebook ad on the page somewhere saying that you were just at a Starbucks and you said this was the greatest Frappuccino. Me.
Oh, I get you. So they use places.
They're going to harvest your comments.
Harvest, yeah, okay.
To make ads for companies.
And I don't think you can opt out of this.
Doesn't appear to be.
Yeah, as I recall, there is no way to opt out of this service.
Not until somebody screams and throws a tantrum,
throws a
probably.
The best way you can opt out is not use Facebook places.
I think that's
at this point, the only way.
Or you could sabotage it by saying, this was the crappiest Frappuccino that I have ever had in my life.
That's true.
Because there's no guarantee that they're going to pick only
good
comments.
True.
In Macintosh news, the Mac is going to get the wonderful Microsoft Office 2011.
They're rolling out, is it a beta version?
It's a trial.
It's
you
a trial
can get a
version.
30-day trial of Office 2011 if you go to Microsoft.com/Mac/trial. Once you download it and install it on your Macintosh computer, I guess they call it a Mac nowadays, you will be able to use it for 30 days, no charge. I believe you'll be able to upgrade to the full version in-app if you want to. So it has the updated Outlook and Excel spreadsheets and different things. So
now,
that's kind of nice.
Apple has updated, speaking of Apple and Mac, has upgraded iTunes.
Yes, they're now at 10.1.2, which is going to allow for the CDMA iPhone.
Yes.
On Verizon here in the U.S. So you will definitely be greeted with a wonderful, you must install, you must download, and now please reboot.
And
there is a iTunes monthly gift scam going around. I did not know this, but you can actually give gifts to people that reoccur on a monthly basis.
In iTunes?
In iTunes.
I didn't know you could do that either.
This is what I'm saying. Huh. So you can say, okay, give Sally Mae $10 a month for the entire year. You know, because you love Sally.
Right.
You know?
Oh, but, Sally, so sweet.
But apparently a guy noticed that his account was getting dinged up to like $1,000, $1,200. And then he went in and logged into his account, found out that there is a problem. There are people using his account to purchase monthly gifts. So he was giving gifts to people without his knowing.
Wow. Ooh-wee.
It's kind of like the PayPal scam that was going around late last year, where people were getting hacked.
Yeah.
So their recommendation is don't link your debit card or your credit card to your iTunes account, which then makes it difficult
to purchase apps.
But apparently apps are purchased but not really used. There's a study out saying that most people download it, they use it one time, and then they delete it or just forget about it. Which
I do that too. My phone is full of stuff I've never even opened. But I'm afraid to delete it with this. I have this thing that like, well, I'll open it and look at it one day.
Well, and then I never can remember whether I actually paid something for it. So I'm afraid to get rid of it because I might have actually paid something.
Yeah, I know.
So that's kind of crazy. Verizon has also said for the iPhone that they are going to offer trade-ins to customers of AT&T. If you have an original 16 gig iPhone, you can get $60 towards a new purchase, $105 for a 16 gig iPhone 3G, $160 for a 32 gigabyte 3GS, and $280 for a 16 gig iPhone 4 and $360 for iPhone 4 with 32 gigs of RAM.
Wow.
Memory.
Huh.
So they're trying to entice people, which I have to say, it is very enticing, seeing as how it has the unlimited data plan for a limited time only.
Yeah. That limited time only is out there.
I'm very tempted by that, but alas.
Contract, dear.
Yeah, I know. Contract.
Contract. Big time fees for breakage.
And now we will finally get to the accessibility news related to ATIA. I struggle
The American with that. Technology Industry Association, and this conference focuses on education. So there are a lot of sorts of educational stuff going on, and a lot of the technology that is put out there is stuff that is used in an educational setting. So I have a lot of different things about assistive technology for the blind. There were obviously some folks, other assistive technology for other disabilities as well. I do
physical
know,
education yeah, instructors.
Physical
and
education
such.
And technologies for autism. I think there was something called Smarty Ears. I'm not quite exactly sure what that does for autistic children. And of course, Bookshare, which
had some announcements.
Has some announcements and has books, you know, for people who have trouble reading, regardless of disability.
But let's start with GW Micro and their WindowEyes 7.5.
Yes, GW Micro has released Window... Well, no, wait. It is not released yet. It is not even in beta yet. Almost, but not quite there. WindowEyes 7.5.
Such a tease.
Yeah, exactly. It is a paid upgrade, so if you have an SMA, of course, it will use up one of your SMAs. If you haven't purchased WindowEyes, of course, you'll have to pay the full price. I don't know how much WindowEyes is now, but it has some of the same features that JAWS 12 has. So it's evident that both of them are trying to do the best they can to stay relevant in today's marketplace. GW Micro did something that I don't think they really needed to do to stay relevant. We now have apps for all kinds of devices. They have started calling their scripts apps, which is kind of strange, but that's okay.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I know.
Cue the music. What were you thinking?
No, yeah, I don't know. They've started calling them that. I'm not sure if that name's going to stick or not. You know, we'll see.
Everybody needs an app store, so I guess they're just trying to fit in with the cool words.
I guess. Like JAWS 12, they have overhauled their settings center. JAWS called it the configuration manager. They've made it easier to use. So they've tweaked their interface a little bit to make it simpler to use in terms of changing program settings and application settings for WindowEyes. Also, like Freedom Scientific did with JAWS, now remote assistance support is available. So in other words, if you've got WindowEyes and your friend in India has WindowEyes, friend in India who's an actual friend, not an outsourced tech representative.
And you're having a problem finding the any key.
Exactly. You can contact your friend in India and, you can get a remote code and your friend can log into your computer and find the problem. Just like you can with JAWS Tandem. It's the same setup. So those are the major things that are going on with WindowEyes 7.5. It sounds like a great upgrade.
And apparently they had a demo of JAWS 12 there too, and people were astonished that JAWS 12 would work really well with iTunes.
Yeah, it does.
Has it improved your experience?
Absolutely. I had some problems last weekend when I was trying to reorganize my entire podcast library on iTunes. It did give me some difficulties, but it probably would have, it was a major overhaul I had to do. So, consistently though, JAWS 12 has behaved very well with iTunes. Best response time is NVDA by far with iTunes, but JAWS 12 is so much better than 11 with iTunes.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nuance is going to have talks for Symbian.
Yes. Well, they already have talks for Symbian, but they're going to have an upgrade. And it's going to support Symbian 3 devices, I guess, which is a new standard for Nokia and other Symbian devices. It's like a new platform or something. I don't really understand this, but their talk screen reader will now support that. It will also now support OV Maps, which is the application that Nokia puts on their phones for GPS. So it will also support that. And it is not a pay. I mean, if you've already got talks, it is a free upgrade, I think.
That's mighty nice of them.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that nice, though? So now Nuance has that. And now we'll go to AI Squared. We'll change gears a little bit and focus on magnification. So AI Squared now has a iPhone app.
Called the Zoom Reader.
Called the Zoom Reader.
All one word.
Yes.
Or at least they're going to release it.
Yeah. They're going to release it soon. It is still in Apple's development store, whatever process it is that they go through. It is $19.95, I believe. And what it will do is it will magnify, I think, but I think its main purpose is as a scanning and OCR application.
Sounded that way. It's going to, it kind of is a portable magnifier. I thought what was really cool about it was you can actually take a screenshot if you're having a problem and it will actually scan the text from that image.
Right.
So that's kind of cool.
You can, I think you can use photos in your library already as well as taking pictures of documents and pages and everything too. So that's mighty cool. Another iPhone app that is coming out is Bookshare.
Why, yes. And that is going to be a $20 charge.
Yes.
On top of your,
yearly subscription of $75 or something like that.
Yeah, that was really hitting the Twitter sphere when that was announced last Thursday because everybody was like, $20, how could you?
It is not, it is going into the Apple Store development. It should be out in about a month. It is a source of Bookshare, goes directly to the Bookshare website, and you can download books to your iPhone with Bookshare. Obviously, you have to have an account. It has on there the a cappella voices, I think Heather and another voice, to read the books. It is called Read to Go. And
that's the number two.
Yeah, number two. And it will be out in about a month, $19.95, on top of your already subscription. You know, people love Bookshare, which is great, but I was subscribed free for 3 months and didn't download a single book.
It's kind of hard when there's a lot of different options out there for getting books.
Yeah.
And especially when there's so many free, what are they, Gutenberg things.
Yeah, of Gutenberg, absolutely. But, you know, there's options for everyone, and Bookshare definitely does a lot of, you know, really good things. Has the newspapers and the New York Times bestsellers really quickly and a large volunteer base to help them out. They have also begun a development, actually I think it's almost finished, work on an API for developers who want to develop more applications for Bookshare. To help with their other projects, because they not only do reading books for people with disabilities, but they also are working in various other digital areas. So they've developed an API for people who would like to help them with their other projects too.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
And in magnifiers, to kind of go back in the same direction as these AI Squared product, Clarity USA has a portable magnifier that is currently unnamed. And
they don't know when it'll be out.
Yeah.
They're thinking towards June, but they're not sure. And there's no price point.
Yeah. So it's kind of almost like it's vaporware, what you would call vaporware at CES. Mm-hmm. You know, will it?
And their website is clarityusa.com.
Yeah, and this little device is going to be a 4-inch screen. It is going to be similar to their current 2-inch. It's got like buttons on it so that you can zoom and toggle from side to side, that kind of thing.
And it weighs about 4 ounces, and it is an LCD screen. So that, I think that looks awesome. And they have other models too. They have one that I guess is sort of like a closed circuit television model. That's a big stand-up magnifier, more like a video magnifier, like one of those old visual techs, I guess.
Yeah, where you can actually take pictures from a far distance.
Yeah. But this Clarity one, this little bitty one was new, and clarityusa.com.
Yeah, I'm kind of interested in seeing what that's actually going to look like and everything. I never really had that much luck with handheld magnifiers. Usually I like to lay something down flat on it or such. I don't know. It's kind of like when you pull back and forward from the image, it like distorts here and there, and I just never have been one to go for it. But moving right along, Optilec has something.
Optilec, who they do release scanning and magnification, and they're kind of all over the board with their technology, but they have a new scanner that is out. It is called the Clear Reader Plus.
Not to be confused with Clearwire, the internet provider.
Yes. The Clear Reader is $24.95. That is $2,495.
Aye, aye.
Yeah. It is a portable standalone solution. It does look really cool. It looks like a boombox. It kind of folds up into a big square, and you can open it out, and there's like, I guess it has a handle, so it's completely portable, platform that comes down, and the camera swings out over it, and it will take a picture, and I don't think, I'm not sure what the specifications are on the onboard memory, you know, how it reads back to you and what all that is, but it, you can carry it around. It's very portable. I don't think there's much onboard storage, and I don't think you can do much sophisticated formatting. I think if you want to do that, you need a computer. But it will scan and save files in there for you to come back to later, I guess. But $24.95, pretty hefty price point.
Yeah, but if you need something portable and durable, that may be the way to go.
Absolutely.
And apparently Gorilla Tech has some new scanning solutions.
Yeah, Gorilla, like Gorilla Warrior, G-U-E-R-I-L-L-A. Hey. Yeah. They
not
have,
like the big monkey.
Yeah. Hmm. Not like the big monkey. They have a new product called the iSnap, E-Y-E Snap. It is not available yet, and they have not specified the availability yet. It is another portable scanning solution like this Optilec, but it is not as portable. Now, this is where it gets weird. The basic is $24.95. This is the basic model of the iSnap.
Is this $2,495?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
It does scanning and OCR. Just like the Clear Reader, there is no ability to store files.
No.
You can't store a file on it.
You have to be connected by cable to something?
To something.
Huh.
It will read it, but you can't store it. I mean, it will read it back to you when you scan it, but you can't store save and store things. There's no storage memory whatsoever.
Interesting.
Now, the Plus. This is goofy. The Plus is $26.95. The iSnap Plus. You can scan. You can OCR. It will read it to you in voice, of course. 20 pages of storage.
20 pages?
Yeah.
20 pages.
20 pages.
That's not even a magazine.
I kid you not. 20 pages.
20 pages. But what if you need to go over that?
If you want to go over that, you have to pay $2,995. $5 less than 3,000, folks, for the unlimited model, which you can store, guess what, unlimited numbers of pages. And with the unlimited model, you can only export in MP3 format. So, yeah, I know, it's weird. You can't export in other formats with any of these models. It exports in MP3. No text, no RTF, no... So the unlimited does come with a little MP3 player.
Oh, well, shut my mouth.
Exactly. That you can push little files. This is the stupidest setup I think I've ever seen. This is not going to survive. My thought is it's just not.
I'm kind of stunned there. Maybe they need to change to Gorilla and just start eating bananas.
Yeah.
Because they might actually get more profit out of that.
Peel me a nanner, toss me a peanut.
No geese and sauce, please.
Sorry, it just fit right in there.
I know.
Anyway.
But evidently they couldn't fit a SD card slot on that little bugger so that
as
you could actually store.
As far as I know, it doesn't have one. As far as, now, maybe I'm
is
wrong.
Is this a new company?
No, they've been around, I think.
Oh, they're just
they've
trying to
got
get rid
scanners.
Of the surplus.
Yeah, well, they've got actual scanning solution called the iScan, which is like a flatbed scanner. And they have the similar models.
And what was this called?
The iSnap. And it's more like a camera, like a picture. You know, snap a picture. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go to a company that still does innovative stuff. What about Duxbury Systems?
Oh, my favorite. Duxbury is coming out with a new upgrade to their Duxbury Braille translation software, version 11.1, I think it is. And of course, the price remains the same. It's $5.95 for the software original price. You get free upgrades for a year. So if you're still into that upgrade, you know, in your year, you get that. If not, then you have to pay. I don't remember how much it is for an upgrade version. They, oh gosh, it has so many nice, cool features. It's got improved table support. In other words, transcribing tables from print to Braille. Also, some improved graphics support. It has Braille tables in it now for over 130 languages.
Hey.
Yeah, and the table emulation is also a lot better. You could even tell it to print a table in... You can change the format, in other words. You could even tell it to print one column on each page if you wanted to, so it could go all the way across a table instead of printing it out in other specialized Braille formats. One other thing that it does do, it supports DOCX files. Very few pieces of software for the blind community actually support DOCX files.
Oh.
Transcribing software does, Duxbury in particular, but note takers do not, and we'll get to that in a minute.
That's kind of interesting that it's one of the few that support that, because, I mean...
DOCX has been out since 2007.
Or earlier. Or earlier. But, I mean, at work, we're not even supposed to not use DOCX. We're not supposed to use DOC files at all unless absolutely necessary.
So you use DOCX and not DOC?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That's kind of a stipulation they have, which is completely pointless. But
one other awesome thing that Duxbury now does, it supports OpenOffice.org files too.
Oh.
Writer and Calc files for math. And it has improved math support all around, I think.
Cool.
Yeah. So they're always awesome. And that moves us right into talking about Braille embossers.
And the Phoenix.
The dual nature of the Braille Phoenix embosser.
Dual nature?
Dual nature. It does two things. It has a graphics embossing head and a Braille embossing head.
Huh.
So the embossing head for Braille embosses at a resolution of, I think it was like 18 dots per inch. So it's a little bit, the dots are a little thicker and denser. Of course, with graphics embossing, it's always done at a higher resolution so that you can get more dots in a space, and it's more fine-tuned image. So I think it's like 25 dots per inch.
Oh.
But you don't have to have a special head or a special embosser for graphics because you can do it with the Phoenix now. It is made by Enabling Technologies, who actually, I think, were the first company ever to produce a Braille embosser. The price point on this is $2,495, which is an absolutely reasonable price for something like that. Definitely reasonable. And it will be available in April of 2011.
Aha. That even makes the price point of the Gorilla Tech seem even...
Yeah. I'm not sure how many characters per second or pages per hour or anything it does. Yeah. I know it's not nearly the amount that the Braille Index does. No, the Braille Box does, made by Braille Index.
Yes.
Because it is a production quality printer designed for producing huge textbooks and things. And it embosses 300 characters per second or 800 pages per hour, whichever you prefer. It is $12,000, which, since comparable embossers that do the same work cost like between $60,000 and $90,000, is pretty reasonable.
Yeah, it's pretty reasonable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But if companies like Horizons for the Blind and stuff want new Braille embossers, this would be the way for them to go.
Mm-hmm.
It will be available in May of 2011. They are taking pre-orders. So
now on the Sarah talk this past week, they were talking about the Braille embossers, and I was wondering if you think that Braille embossers will become less likely because of the lack of reading in Braille.
You're trying to get me on my soapbox, aren't you?
I was trying.
There is we'll just say the trend is going towards audio. Fewer special education teachers who know Braille make the situation even worse. And I know this is occurring not only in the U.S., but also in Canada and I think abroad as well. And certain companies are noticing this too. And this is why Freedom Scientific has reduced the price of its Focus 40 Blue Braille display to help make this technology more affordable. Granted, it really isn't affordable, but that's the technology behind the Braille display, not the company.
Oh.
Technology for manufacturing these is very expensive the way they currently manufacture them now, because each pin is governed by a motor.
Hmm.
And you have to make one motor for each pin, and each cell has eight pins.
Yeah.
So lots of little motors and lots of intensive manual labor goes into making one of those.
So basically, it's going probably the way of digital media. digital media is going to take over.
Digital media is taking over a lot.
Because it's easier.
It's easier.
It's less effort.
Absolutely. And I don't know. I think it's like everything. If print was declining in the same way that Braille is declining, I don't think I'd be worried about it. But print literacy isn't declining nearly at the same rate that Braille literacy is. It's alarming. So at least to me.
There is quite a difference between sighted reading and Braille reading. Definitely.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, everything you see, you have to read if you're able to do
right.
that.
Absolutely. So okay, I'm going to get off my soapbox
okay.
now.
And mission accomplished.
Yeah.
So, now, HumanWare has a new product called Keysoft.
Well, let's talk about the Baum Braille note takers.
Oh.
Because they actually have Braille displays. So they sort of relate to the embosser. They're a hardware thing. The Pronto line of Baum note takers is receiving an upgrade. And these note takers are so cool because the keyboards interchange. You can have a Braille keyboard or a QWERTY keyboard, and it just pops out. And it's like a plate, and you just put the keyboard on the top.
Mm-hmm.
Chink. The Pronto, it's $74.95, I believe, for a 40-cell Pronto.
I assume that's not 70.
No, it's $7,495.
Hi-ya!
Yeah. A little cheaper than the Braille Note Apex, which I'll get to in a second, by HumanWare, but not really by much. And yeah, note takers are, well, I can get on another soapbox about that, but I'll stop.
I think we could probably hire somebody to take notes for you.
Yeah. The note takers, Pronto note takers, are being upgraded. It's a great thing. They actually do look really cool. The demonstration on Blind Bargains was very well done with the Baum folks. And that was the main Baum announcement. That, and they are coming out with a 12-cell Braille display called the Braille Pen. It is under $1,000. I don't know a specific price point, and I don't know when this will actually be available, but it's going to be used on mobile devices. That's what it's designed for. 12-cell refreshable Braille display.
Isn't that small?
Yeah. Yeah, it is really small. And
but I guess if you're using a mobile device and you need to do something really quick.
Yeah, and it's refreshable Braille, so if you're reading along, it will automatically update. Refreshable Braille is very dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
My Braille Lite does it, but it's like 13 years out of date in the way it does it. But it does the same kind of thing. It will, you tell it to move, and it will keep moving through your document.
Oh, okay.
So you tell it to start reading, and it will go, and then it gets to the end of the cells.
So there's
and
not a tremendous amount of effort there.
No.
It just keeps doing it for
you. It keeps doing it for you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, 12 cells in a mobile device, I could ride with that. But it was not something that I would use for major computer functions, you know.
Okay.
So, yeah. Now we can move to HumanWare.
I hear there's something called Keysoft.
Yes, Keysoft.
I heard it somewhere. Maybe it was earlier.
Yeah, Keysoft is coming out with version 9.1. There is a catch to this, however. This is the software based on Windows CE that runs HumanWare's note takers. And Keysoft version 9.1 is coming out. Catch, if you have a Braille Apex, you're good to go. Version 9.1 is all yours. If you have other HumanWare note takers like the Braille Note, not the Braille Note Apex, the Braille Note, it's not out for you yet. And this has created a lot of like controversy and upset people.
The Braille Note Apex not included.
Yeah, the Braille Note Apex, of course, is not included. That is the $8,000 or so HumanWare note taker that's very thin and lightweight, apparently. And there was some, it came out last year. It came out last year. The features in Keysoft 9.1, it has better support for formatting in Microsoft Word documents, doc documents. It does not support DOCX, and I think most note takers don't support DOCX, which is kind of sad. But I guess they're based on older Windows platforms that don't.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't. Links in documents are now clickable. So if you're in a Microsoft Word document and you've got an HTTP link or an email link, you can click on that or, you know, press enter on it or whatever, and it will open up the website or the email address. You can now also password protect your Braille Note Apex, which is nice, I guess. I mean, Not that many people are going to know what it's used for if you drop it on the street somewhere. But I mean, if you want to, if you work in another, in an environment with other blind individuals who may have the same model of note taker, you can password protect it so that you'll know it's yours. Yeah, it's a free update for Apex since you if you have an SMA, but otherwise you're going to have to pay for it. And I'm not sure what they're when they're going to release it for the regular Braille note taker users and their other line of note takers either. And the Apex also supports JAWS 12 voiceover and Window Eyes integration into a computer. So in other words, you can hook this to a computer and it will act as a Braille display.
And a terminal
emulator to a certain extent. And you can also listen to books from Bard with it from National Library Service. RFBND books have not come out yet, but soon to follow, I think. Also, Humanware has upgraded the Trekker Breeze GPS system. It is a free upgrade. It's version 2.0. You can now enter a specific address and get a specific route to that destination instead of like a round sort of generic point. This is sort of where you're at. It also has a pedometer, the device, to track how much you walk. So it's geared towards walking, and a very slimmed down device with very few buttons. It kind of seems like it's a little clunky the way you have to enter information, like a you're texting with a dial keypad. But you know,
I wonder if I wonder if devices like this will go the way of the cell phone.
I don't know. They might. One good thing you can do with this also is you can import GPX files from a computer as landmarks or points of interest into your Trekker Breeze.
Oh, well, that's a plus.
You couldn't do that before, and now you can do that.
That is kind of nice on regular GPSs. You can go through like cities or something and actually get points of interest that you might want to stop at.
Yeah. So I think we have one last thing. Unless I'm missing a company here.
I don't believe so.
I think the last thing is Bones.
I like that show.
No, the company Bones from Switzerland. They make stuff for blind people.
Oh, it's not the TV show.
No. Oh. Actually, I think it's an acronym, but I'm not sure what it stands for. But the Bones Digital Milestone, it is a digital reader like the PlexTalk Pocket or the Victor Reader Stream or the Bookport Plus. The original price for the digital reader is $449. It does most of the same things that the Bookport Plus does and the PlexTalk Pocket. It also has an AM FM radio, very high quality voices. It does support NLS books, not RFBND books. They're working on that, however, I think. I don't think that's out yet. And of course, different audio formats. You know, you can play your music and your podcasts and everything like that. It has some interesting accessories to it. It has an agenda program built in, like you can make a calendar. I think it does, instead of text entry, you speak what you want to put into your calendar entries. It's a, like a recording thing, like a memo.
Oh.
And so that's kind of cool. And it also has some accessories. It's kind of weird. It's like got a barcode reader. It's an accessory that you clip onto the device itself, and it turns the device into a barcode scanner. It also has a color identifier that you clip onto the device, and it turns it into a color identifier. The barcode scanner is $900. The color identifier is $200. It's not availability has not been specified for this yet, but I think they are taking pre-orders at bones.ch, and it does have a gigabyte of internal storage.
See, I was thinking really cool thing. It's a Swiss Army knife of readers, but then you mentioned the $900 for the scanner.
Yeah, you know, that would have been cool. Swiss Army knife. Clever, clever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, $900 for a barcode scanner. I think it has one of those RPX or RFX, RDX, that it's not barcodes, but they're like for medicines and things. It also has one of those scanners.
Oh.
It's like a separate.
Yeah, the separate, RX code.
Yeah, RX. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is $600.
Hmm.
Yeah. So.
As with all of these things, they seem really great until you get down to the bottom line.
And you get down to the bottom. Mm-hmm. So I think the things that are most exciting for me are the Window Eyes that has come up and still staying.
But you love JAWS.
I don't really care. I mean, I use JAWS. I'm not real particular.
It's the old story of that's what you first had and
Absolutely.
That's what you have at home.
I mean, yeah. And so that's basically where we are with that. If I had to get a new screen reader, I don't know which I would get. We'll leave it that at there. But I think the biggest things for me that I was glad to see were the upgraded Window Eyes calling scripts apps, because kind of dorky, but you know, whatever. The Braille, the Enabling Technologies Braille Phoenix was really awesome. And the Duxbury upgrade, of course, is great.
Fantastic.
And the Optilec, well, the Clear Reader Plus was also really nifty.
Yes.
Clear Reader Plus
by Optilec.
And the Zoom Reader.
Yeah, the Zoom Reader is kind of interesting. I'm going to be interested to see what that is like. Since it's taking pictures with a camera, it mm-hmm. seems like they're really going to have to work on something to do stabilization.
Yeah.
Because that's the biggest problem that you have with the iPhone is yeah. trying to keep it steady in order to take a decent picture.
And especially with blind people who, you know, either if you have a little bit of vision or if you have no vision at all, it's the steadiness. We have an even harder time of keeping it steady and keeping it pointed in the right direction.
Yeah. And I did see while watching some of the Twit coverage of Macworld this past week, there was a program called Ubik. Y-O-U-B-I-Q, which isn't out yet, probably sometime later this spring, it actually had the capability where you could touch the screen and it would hold focus.
Oh, now that's nice.
So they showed a video of a guy sitting on a boat and he's sitting there holding the phone, taking a picture as the boat rushes across the river.
Wow.
And it stayed steady. The boat was wow. just bouncing up and down, that kind of thing on the waves, but it just stayed flat.
That's amazing.
Because he focused it on the horizon and it just stayed there.
Mm.
So that might be kind of what the Zoom Reader needs to or is going to have. I think they mentioned something yeah. about stabilization, mm-hmm. but that seems like the biggest catch. Yeah,
that's pretty awesome. And of course, when CSUN rolls around in March, we will have another one of these mammoth shows. They've already had an influx of papers for CSUN, more so than they thought they would have. So that leads everyone kind of to think that CSUN is going to be a big deal this year.
Could be.
So this is the Assistive Technology Conference that's at the University of California at Northridge. They should call it something different than that. But CSUN has always sponsored it, so I guess the name stuck.
It's an acronym that's easy to remember.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. So if you want to follow that on Twitter, it is CSUN 2011, I think.
Yeah, and probably it'll change by the time the conference
yeah,
gets here.
It'll probably change to CSUN 11.
Kind of like a TIA.
So actually what I did to search for ATIA stuff is I have a Twitter search open for ATIA 11 and ATIA 2011, and believe it or not, both of them were used.
Exactly.
So you just never know. Keep your options open. But
if you are wanting to get information on the topics that we discussed, because we kind of
other thing to do.
Well, no.
What are you thinking?
No. I'm just going to say that if people want to hear about these assistive technology things from ATIA, they can definitely check out the interviews that were done at serotalk.com and blindbargains.com, because they actually sat down and talked with the actual companies and had a great workup with them.
Yeah, they both did
very in-depth.
A great job, very in-depth interviews.
And I believe Serotalk actually has more interviews to put on their website.
Yeah, they did interviews, and I haven't actually listened to theirs yet because they put theirs up after I was done putting this together.
Yeah, I think they only released one episode so far, and that was basically the five topics that they thought were most
important.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like an hour and 15 mm-hmm. minutes or something.
Blind Bargains has each company in a separate interview of the ones that they did. And you can get to it by going to their audio content.
Yeah, it's a...
The audio on their website.
Yeah, it's a lot of information and everybody has different interests.
Yep. What were you thinking? Leaving the accessibility sphere behind to deal with this, what were you thinking? A swimming pool company, or city, I think. A city that has a swimming pool is going to heat the indoor pool with dead people, dead bodies, heating this nice cold water.
Isn't there a comedy skit on this? Didn't Monty Python do something like this? Bring out your dead.
Bring out your dead. Bring
out your dead. I'm not ready to go yet.
I'm not dead.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. yeah, it was in Monty Python and the Holy Grail, or whatever that one is called. yeah, scary. Anyway, yes, the way this works, and I forget where this is, but there is a crematorium next to this swimming pool. And so since the heat from the incinerations that are conducted in crematoriums goes into the atmosphere, they are going to catch the heat somehow and pump it into the next building, which is the swimming pool, and heat
This is just wrong.
That's just weird.
This is like the McDonald's playground. You go in to get your Big Mac, the kids go out to swing on the swings, you know. This, oh, well, Aunt Margie passed away. She's over in the crematorium. You kids, go have fun over at the swimming pool.
Oh, that's just wrong. So, yeah, I guess they're trying to be energy efficient, but that use is a little...
This is taking green to an all-new low.
Yeah.
Maybe gangrene.
Oof.
Doy.
Yeah, so anyway, interesting, innovative thought, but dubious on the thought process.
Doy.
So, that wraps it up for us today.
This disaster of a podcast that you're listening to is Tech Access Weekly, episode number
79.
Yes. Ooh, 79?
Yeah.
Ay, caramba.
To take a look at the stories considered for this episode, go to delicious.com/techaccess/79. If you would like to submit questions, commentary, or other things of that nature, you can email us, tweet us, or call us.
And you can get that contact information at the end of this podcast.
Yes, indeed.
And we encourage you to listen to us ramble and
rant,
stammer and rant. We'll try not to mention the soapbox derby of Braille, whether it is necessary or not.
The literacy.
On the Sarah Talk podcast this coming Thursday.
Tech Chat at 9 p.m. Eastern.
So that should be a lot of fun. Hopefully they can try and keep us in check.
Yeah, hopefully we don't go into too many spirals here. Yeah, so we will see you. If we don't see you then, we will see you on our next podcast and or Daily Tip.
Yes, and please be sure to head over to bit.ly/blindbargains2011 to vote.
In the Accessible Awards.
Things.
Yeah.
On the Accessible Awards, there's 12 categories. You can choose 11 of those as to whatever you wish, but one in particular, vote for us.
Absolutely. So
anyway,
we will see you next time. Yeah, it was awesome. Thank you so much for whoever did that. We really do appreciate it. That said, this done, we will see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye. To contact the team for Tech Access Weekly, send an email to techaccessweekly@gmail.com. You may follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/TA_weekly. You may comment on our voice line at 260-2-ASK-TAW, 260-227-5829. To find a list of the stories covered in each episode, please visit delicious.com/techaccess. Feel free to visit our website at techaccessweekly.com.